Blog Talk Radio.
Taking part in the OECD forum
Austerity versus Growth, Trumka, a member of the OECD's Trade Union Advisory Committee, slammed the idea that austerity measures will move nations out of the economic doldrums. He says, is austerity versus growth a false dilemma? This is a foolish question in the same way that it is foolish question whether the earth is flat or whether the sun goes around the earth or the earth goes around the sun. And people who still maintain that austerity leads to growth do so for the same reason the Inquisition insisted the sun went around the earth to maintain themselves in power.
Austerity measures, such as those imposed in the United Kingdom, Spain, and Greece, are, said Trumker, driving a vicious cycle of spending cuts, crushing economic growth, which shrinks revenues, leading to larger deficits and more spending cuts, resulting in increased debt ratios and permanent mass unemployment. With economic carnage in such plain sight, he asks, why do political and financial elites keep it going? The answer isn't pretty. They keep it going because austerity serves an agenda, the agenda of destroying social solidarity, of concentrating power in financial elites and taking power away from democratic institutions, the agenda of rising economic insecurity, and most of all, the agenda of weakening workers' bargaining power so that wages will fall and business profits will rise.
Man, that's sick of it. And Trumka offered a number of policy alternatives to kickstart job-rich, inclusive, and sustainable growth, including fiscal and monetary policy focused on job creation and growth.
Job creation through investment in infrastructure, green growth, and sustainable development.
Employment and real wage growth through active labor market policies that provide income, training, and job search assistance for the unemployed, and help labor markets support technological innovation to the economy.
Financial regulation that has as one of its goals ensuring that the financial system reinforces small and medium-sized enterprises' capacity to grow and create quality jobs.
And public policy that aims to restore social trust by improving working conditions, imposing more control on financial markets, and enhancing growth through sustainable innovation, policies, and investment. The goal of financial regulations and taxation should be to make the financial sector serve the needs of the real economy and prevent financial speculation from damaging sustainable growth prospects. You can get a recap and follow the OECD sessions via Twitter with the hashtag OECDWK.
It's the best to go to this site and get those things off.
Yeah, go to the AFL-CIO Now site and check.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, after World War II, we had a lot of subsidies in place for returning veterans. We had a lot of programs in place for jobs.
It was what caused the greatest boom in our country.
But we've also had years and years of war. That should have created a great boom,
Well, what they did after that is they destroyed all the veterans' benefits. They took away stuff from the veterans.
Yeah.
They, you know, I mean, you know, it was.
Haven't created jobs.
No.
They've done just the opposite.
I mean, the Korean War was a disaster, and you know, they didn't help those guys. Then the Vietnam War came around, and they just forgot those guys altogether. You know. And you know, the Iraq War and all these other crazy 9/11 wars and everything else, and all of a sudden, now, all right, 50 years later, they're suddenly going, oh, God bless the American veteran. You know what I mean? You know, and they're giving these guys a chance, but it's like
not much.
They just discovered post traumatic stress. Okay. Like they just discovered it. What it was, they couldn't deny it anymore. Right? But they still are denying depleted uranium poisoning.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, let's go on to one more thing. High-tech, low-wage strategy. This really, you know, just kills you when you see what's going on here.
And this is by Mike Hall. When Microsoft, Oracle, Facebook...
I'm sorry.
And the other big-time cyber giants say they need to import more foreign high-tech workers and then put them on a full-scale lobbying assault to up the numbers of H-18 visas allowed in the immigration reform bill. H-1B, sorry, it looked like 18. Visas fall in the immigration reform bill now under consideration. What are they really after? The AFL-CIO President Richard Trunker has the answer in op-ed in today's edition of USA Today. This is about powerful companies pursuing lower wages. The high-tech industry claims there is a shortage of qualified U.S. workers to fill their jobs. But, writes Trunker, in the field of computer and information science and engineering, U.S. colleges graduate 50% more students than there are new hires. Clearly, high-tech is not looking to bring in H-1B holders for a few years at a time because there is a shortage of tech workers. They want a massive expansion of H-1B visa holders because they can pay them less.
Trumka makes clear that America's unions embrace immigrants and new citizens, but we need the right rules and policies in place to reach our potential. When foreign workers
get
stuck in a revolving door system, it does not give them a realistic chance to stay and become citizens. Then the ladder to the middle class is broken. I'm going to go to this. It says, read the full article in USA Today. So that, it's a good article. It sounds good. So let's see. First, let's be clear. Immigration helps America. People who come here to pursue... people who come here to pursue their dreams and aspire to be citizens strengthen our country. American unions embrace immigrants and new citizens. But we need the right rules and policies.
We just read that part.
Okay.
We worry about...
We didn't read that.
Yes, it's the revolving door system.
Where's that?
Right here. That's the paragraph we read. Well, we worry about corporations firing or passing over qualified American workers in order to import temporary farm workers at lower wages. We worry about a declining middle class as corporate profits reach record highs. Americans aren't looking for handouts. We aren't looking to be hired for a job for which we lack essential qualifications. We just want a fair chance to use the skills we have earned, often at the cost of huge student loans, to work our way into the middle-class jobs of the future. High-tech companies say they are too few American high-tech workers, but that's just not true. And that's when he said, in the field of computer and information science, we graduate 54.
Yeah, today there are 20,000 fewer African-American computer programmers and system analysts employed than in 2008. All right? In the field of computer and information science and engineering, U.S. colleges graduated 50% more students than there were new hires.
Basic supply and demand suggests if there were too few qualified high-tech workers, their average salaries would be going up, but tech wages haven't risen since Bill Clinton was president.
Oh my God.
Clearly, high tech is not looking to bring in H-1B visa holders for a few years at a time because there's a shortage of tech workers. They want a massive expansion of H-1B visa holders because they can pay them best, less. This is not about innovation and job creation. It's about dollars and cents. So it's just,
that's,
you know, we want to pay you dog's wages. That's what we want.
That's what they
want
to do. You know,
so you won't be able to. You'll have a job and you won't be able to pay back your college loan because you'll be working for dirt.
That's right. That's right. It's bullshit. You know, it's terrible.
And what they want is a revolving door. So once you've worked a few years, then they'll hire the next. They'll get rid of you because you have a visa, and they'll hire the next round.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable, huh? Oh, I don't know, but I suppose.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I lost the system. But I wanted to do some current events tonight.
Yes, I'd like to go to David Icke because I have something I want to read on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. You did, right? Yeah, let's go to that.
Because there's an article on his site about the Federal Reserve, and there's a whistleblower from the Fed who used to work. Just a moment, folks.
No. We're still on. There we go. Yeah, sorry. There was a phone call that Lila had to take. So anyway, we are still on.
We're trying to
make sense here of the world, and we are doing a pretty good job at it. But there are issues that I guess Lila wants to address here. Something from David Icke's website, which I haven't been able to find yet for some reason. We're trying.
And what I was saying is that there's a whistleblower who used to be employed by the Federal Reserve, and she talks a lot in this article about all of the problems with the Federal Reserve and what they're really doing to this country. Now, I hope the article is still up. Sometimes when you get a really good article like that, you can't get to it. That can be one of the problems.
Well, we are trying desperately to get there, and also trying to do other things on this
site.
Why
don't you play some music?
Because it's not playing for some reason.
It will now.
Well, wait a minute. We're almost there, folks. So hang with us. I know it's difficult to be listening to this show sometimes, but we are so diligent and so aggressively attacking these systems that you must wait for us. it's coming here. Hang on, folks. You know, all of these great sites and all of these great things seem to have difficulty uploading a lot of times. And I don't know if it's part of the censorship programs or it's just now a bad browser, but
keep going.
Oh,
not too far. It's not you going too fast.
Well, you know, yesterday would be today now, so maybe it's not even this one. Can I go by it? Doctors are said to have used a defibrillator on him several times, He is also reported to be alive with the help of a ventilator. A royal court has yet to comment on the court on the king or report of King's death. The aging Saudi monarch has not recently appeared in the public, and the country's crown prince is attending official meetings on behalf of him. So the old bastard's dead. Yeah, just let him die. All right, and John Kerry defends U.S. use of assassination drones. Yeah, well, I wish they would do that to him. During a trip to Ethiopia, capital city of Addis Ababa. Boy, they're sending this schmuck to every god-awful place in the world. Kerry said the drones were needed to hunt down terrorists and that each attack was carried out after a great deal of vetting. And they killed hundreds and thousands of innocent people. They're bombing weddings and all kinds of crap. These guys are asswipes. Okay, we also said that the drone program was one of the most accountable of programs. According to Kerry, the unmanned aerial vehicles are used against confirmed terrorist targets at the highest levels. That's crap. And many of the independent reports, in particular those in drone strikes in Pakistan, show a high level of civilian deaths as a result of U.S. assassination drone strikes. So Kerry is a theory. Okay, so let's go on. I don't know where your article is, Lala.
It's right in the beginning of the second page when I look for it.
I don't know where it is.
Maybe they took it down.
Obama expands militarization
of police.
That's a video.
Monsanto exposed by 11-year-old boy.
Now, maybe this might be good. Let's listen to this. Because nobody else, no adult seems to understand what Monsanto is doing. FedEx.
Next generation.
Hello, my name is Burke Bear, and I'm 11 years old. I came here today to talk about what's wrong with our food system. First of all, I would like to say that I'm really amazed at how easily kids are led to believe all the marketing and advertising on TV, at public schools, and pretty much everywhere else you look. It seems to me like corporations are always trying to get kids, like me, to get their parents to buy stuff that really isn't good for us or the planet. Little kids especially are attracted by colorful packaging and plastic toys. I must admit, I used to be one of them. I also used to think that all of our food came from these happy little farms where pigs rolled in mud and cows grazed on grass all day. What I discovered was this is not true. I began to look into this stuff on the internet, in books, and in documentary films, in my travels with my family. I discovered the dark side of the industrialized food system. First, there's genetically engineered seeds and organisms. That is when a seed is manipulated in a laboratory to do something not intended by nature, like taking the DNA of a fish and putting it into the DNA of a tomato. Yuck. Don't get me wrong. I like fish and tomatoes, but this is just creepy. The seeds have been planted, then grown. The food they produce has been proven to cause cancer and other problems in lab animals. And people have been eating food produced this way since the 1990s. Most folks don't even know they exist. Did you know rats that genetically engineered corn had developed signs of liver and kidney toxicity? These include kidney inflammation and lesions and increased kidney weight. Yet almost all the corn we eat has been altered genetically in some way. And let me tell you, corn isn't everything. And don't even get me started on the confined animal feeding operations called CAFOs. Conventional farmers use chemical fertilizers made from fossil fuels that they mix with the dirt to make plants grow. They do this because they've stripped the soil from all nutrients from growing the same crop over and over again. Next, more harmful chemicals are sprayed on fruits and vegetables, like pesticides and herbicides, to kill weeds and bugs. When it rains, these chemicals seep into the ground or run up into our waterways, poisoning our water too. Then they irradiate our food, trying to make it last longer, so it can travel thousands of miles from where it's grown to the supermarkets. So I ask myself, how can I change? How can I change these things? This is what I found out. I discovered that there's a movement for a better way. Now, a while back, I wanted to be an NFL football player. realize that I'd rather be an organic farmer instead. That way... Thank you. And that way, I can have a greater impact on the world. I learned about this guy named Joel Salatin. They call him a lunatic farmer because he grows against the system. Since I'm homeschooled, I want to go hear him speak one day. This man, this lunatic farmer, doesn't use any pesticides, herbicides, or genetically modified seeds. And so for that, he's called crazy by the system. I want you to know that we can all make a difference by making different choices, by buying our food directly from local farmers or neighbors we know in real life. Some people say organic or local food is more expensive, but is it really? With all these things I've been learning about the food system, it seems to me that we can either pay the farmer or we can pay the hospital. I know definitely which one I would choose. I want you to know that there are farmers out there, like Bill Keener in Sequatchie Coast Farms in Tennessee, whose cows do eat grass and whose pigs do roll in the mud, just like I thought. Sometimes I go to Bill's farm and volunteer so I can see up close and personal where the meat I eat comes from. I want you to know that I believe kids will eat fresh vegetables and good food if they know more about it and where it really comes from. I want you to know that there are farmers markets in every community popping up. I want you to know that me and my brother and sister actually like eating baked kale chips. I try to share this everywhere I go. Not too long ago, my uncle said that he offered my 6-year-old cousin cereal. He asked if he wanted organic toasted O's or the sugar-coated flakes. You know, the one with the big striped cartoon character on the front? My little cousin told his dad that he would rather have the organic toasted O cereal because Burke said he shouldn't eat sparkly cereal. And that, my friends, is how we can make a difference, one kid at a time. So next time you're at the grocery store, think local. Choose organic, know your farm, and know your food. Thank you.
By a little kid. TEDx television, Next Generation Asheville. That's the way to go. No, that's the way to go. Did I read this last night?
No.
This one was interesting. I posted it on Facebook because I thought it was so good. I think it's important to note that the head of the IMF, which you're not hearing about anywhere on the international news or whatever.
She's charged with embezzlement and
fraud.
Christine Lagarde.
Yeah. The head of the International Monetary Fund arrived in the dock of a Paris courtroom today as she braced herself to be formally charged with embezzlement and fraud. Christine Lagarde, humiliation is not only a massive personal blow which could lead to her resignation, but one which will plunge the world's banking system into further ignominy. Never heard that word before.
No.
Why do you
It means further.
Into
people
further
will hate
ignominy.
It more.
Ignominy. That's a new word for me.
People will despise it.
If
more.
You've ever heard that word, you've heard it here first, maybe, because I've never known of it before. Ignominy.
This is from the London Evening Standard.
Yeah.
Now,
hang on a second.
I don't notice that this is being announced in the news here at all.
Not at all. I haven't heard it anywhere besides these blogs. Okay, and here it is, the London Evening Standard. American, I don't know if American papers have
carried it.
Probably not. It's one of the most censored news in the world is right here in the United States. Hang on a second here. Almost here. Okay. God. What happened there?
I don't know.
What happened?
Sorry, folks.
Our power just went out on this.
I'll go down and check the...
It's on this one. I don't understand.
Did you put your foot on that?
No.
The fuse box is working all right. So I don't know what happened with that.
I don't know what happened. This window's not shut down. It just... Oh, my my God, this is a first. Okay. Let me go to, my computer just went boom, just got, I've had problems with hacking before, and recently, and oddly enough, there was one day that I actually got, my computer got hacked, and I had a camera on my computer, and it actually came up with a picture of me, okay? It said, you're a terrorist, FBI terrorist squad or whatever. Pay $400 to X amount of places or whatever the place that is, and we'll release this, we'll unfreeze your computer, all right? And I was, like, absolutely floored, and I took off my computer, my camera, Logitech, actually, what it was, and I said, up your ass. Basically, but they froze my computer, all right, so I couldn't do anything. Well, then I shut off the computer and set up, and I called my computer repair guy, and, he said, yeah, that's a new one. I said, yeah. I said, they're calling me a terrorist because I'm on this program, you know? They chop me off. They've destroyed my, but for some reason, they cut off this went my main desktop computer, but I'm on because I have also a laptop computer, which is on all the time onto the program. But you know, it's really interesting that somebody just whacked me.
Yeah.
I just got whacked, and that's never happened before. That's a new one. But you know, folks, anytime you're trying to put out news, anytime you're trying to put out information that the world is not supposed to hear, right? Somebody's going to come after you. You know, it's just the way it is. And don't believe, I'm proud. I'm proud and proud, prouder than it can be, that somebody wants to censor my work, okay? Well, it's coming back, folks. They didn't destroy me, and they'll never censor us. But while my computer is coming up, I'm going to play you a song. Hopefully this will come through. And we'll be back soon. Okay? But in the meantime, enjoy this Burnt Rubber Blues, one of my favorite tunes. Trying to raise my one of my browsers, you know, the Internet Explorer browser, on my site, and for some reason it seems to have blocked them.
Here it is. I found it.
But yeah, something happened here. They seem to have blocked my entire site.
Well, Leo is working on that Global Research.
Fortunately, we got three computers here, and they've only blown up one of them. But,
and this is by Alex Newman, former insider at the World Bank. Ex-senior counsel Karen Hughes says the global financial system is dominated by a small group of corrupt, power-hungry figures centered around the privately owned, and I emphasize privately owned, U.S. Federal Reserve. The network has seized control of the media to cover up its crimes, too, she explained. In an interview with The New American, Hughes said that when she tried to blow the whistle on multiple problems at the World Bank, she was fired for her efforts. Now, along with a network of fellow whistleblowers, Hughes is determined to expose and end the corruption, and she is confident of success. Citing an explosive 2011 Swiss study published in Closed One Journal in the Network of Global Corporate Control, Hughes pointed out that a small group of elites, mostly financial institutions and especially central banks, exert a massive amount of influence over the international economy from behind the scenes. What is really going on is that the world's resources are being dominated by this group, she explained, adding that the corrupt power grabbers have managed to dominate the media as well. They're being allowed to do it. According to the peer-reviewed paper, which presented the first global investigation of ownership architecture in the international economy, transnational corporations form a giant bow-tie structure. A large portion of control, meanwhile, flows to small, tightly knit core of financial institutions. The researchers describe the core as an economic superentity that raises important issues for policymakers and researchers. Of course, the implications are enormous for citizens as well. Hughes, an attorney who spent some two decades working in the World Bank's legal department, has observed the mechanizations of the network up close. I realized we were now dealing with something known as state capture, which is where institutions of government are co-opted by the group that's corrupt, she told The New America in a phone interview. The pillars of U.S. government, some of them, are dysfunctional because of state capture. This is a big story. This is a big cover-up. At the heart of the network, Hughes said, are 147...
I got hacked, folks, on this computer.
Yep.
I got hacked. I'm this.
At the heart of the network, Hughes said 147 financial institutions, you should close that down.
I'm trying to.
And central banks, especially the Federal Reserve, which was created by Congress, but is owned by essentially a cartel of private banks. This is a story about how the international financial system was secretly gained, mostly by central banks. They're the ones we're talking about, she explained. The central bankers have been gaming the system. I would say that this is a power grab. The Fed in particular is at the very center of the network and the cover-up, Hughes continued, citing a policy and oversight body that includes top government and Fed officials. Central bankers have also been manipulating gold prices, she added, echoing widespread concern that the new American has documented extensively. Indeed, even the inaccurate World Bank financial statements that Hughes has been trying to expose are linked to the U.S. central bank, she said. The group we're talking about from the Zurich study, that's the Federal Reserve. It has some other pieces to it, but that's the Federal Reserve, Hughes explained. So the Federal Reserve secretly dominated the world economy using secret interlocking corporate directorate systems.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Let's see, I just lost my page. It's Excuse me, folks, I just lost my place. The Fed in particular is at the very center of the network and cover-up. Hughes continues, citing a policy and oversight body that includes top government and Fed officials. And as I said, central bankers have also been manipulating gold prices. Indeed, even in the inaccurate World Bank financial statements that Hughes has been trying to expose are linked to the U.S. central bank, she said. The group that we're talking about from the Zurich study, that's the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve secretly dominated the world economy using secret interlocking corporate directorates and terrorizing anybody who managed to figure it out that they were having any kind of role in putting people in very important positions so that they could get a free pass. The shadowy but immensely powerful Bank for International Settlements serves as the club of these private central bankers. Now, are people going to want interest on their country's debts to continue to be paid to that group when they find out the secret tricks that that group has been doing? Don't forget how they enrich themselves extraordinarily and how they've taken taxpayer money for the bailout. As far as intervening in the gold prices, Hughes said, it was an effort by the powerful network and its central banks to hold on to its paper currency, a suspicion shared by many analysts, even senior government officials. The World Bank whistleblower also said that contrary to official claims, she did not believe there was any gold being held in Fort Knox. Even congressmen and foreign governments have tried to find out if the precious metals were still there, but they met with little success. Hughes, however, believes the scam will eventually come undone. This is like crooks trying to figure out where they can go to hide. It's a mafia, she said. These culprits have grabbed all this economic power, have succeeded in infiltrating both sides of the issue, so you will find people who are supposedly trying to fight corruption who are just there to spread disinformation and as a placeholder to trip up anybody who manages to get their act together. Those thugs think that if they can keep the world ignorant, they can bleed it longer. Of course, the major corporations at the highest level of government and business is not a new phenomenon. Georgetown University historian and professor Carol Quigley, who served as President Bill Clinton's mentor, for example, wrote about the scheme in his 1966 book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. The heavyweight academic who was allowed to review documents belonging to the top echelon of global establishments even explained how the corrupt system would work, remarkably similar to what Hughes described. This is a very, oh no, it's got a little more to it. I thought it was even longer. The powers of financial capitalism had a far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole, wrote Professor Quigley, who agreed with the goals but not the secrecy. This system was to be controlled in a feudal fashion by the central banks of the world, acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at frequent private meetings and conferences. The apex of the system was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which were themselves private corporations. But it's not going to happen, Hughes said, at least not if she has anything to do with it. While the media are dominated by the power grabber network, Hughes has been working with foreign governments, reporters, U.S. officials, state governments, and a broad coalition of fellow whistleblowers to blow the entire scam wide open. There has been quite a bit of interest, too, There's been quite a bit of interest, too, particularly among foreign governments and state officials in the United States. Leo, if you just finish reading that, we're getting a terrible storm here, and
okay.
I need to
citing the wisdom of America's founding fathers in creating a federal system of government with multiple layers of checks and balances, Hughes says she was confident that the network would eventually be exposed and subjected to the rule of law, stopping the secret corruption. And when that happened, even if it may be disorderly, Hughes says precious metals will once again play a role in imposing discipline on the monetary system. The rules of law would also be restored, she said, and the public will demand a proper press to stay informed. Yeah, we love it. We're going to have a clean-up financial system and where it's going. But in the meantime, people who didn't know how the system was gamed are going to find out, she said. And we're going to have a different kind of international financial system. It'll be a kind of new world where people know what's going on. No more backroom deals. That's not going to keep happening. We're going to have a different kind of media. People that, man, this is one utopian babe. It will be a new kind of world where people know what's going on. No more backroom deals. That's no longer going to happen. We're going to have a different kind of media. It's people who don't want to be dominated and controlled, and I don't think they do. While Hughes sounded upbeat, she recognized that the world is facing serious danger right now. And there are even plans in place to impose martial law in the United States, she says. And the next steps will be critical for humanity. In such, Hughes argues, it is crucial that the people of the world find out about the lawlessness, corruption, and thievery that are going on at the highest levels and put a stop to it at once and for all. The consequences of inaction would be disastrous. Well, I agree, babe, but